Hey, Edgar here, the host of Snug Wrestling. Are you tired of your flimsy sunglasses that look just like everyone else's? Well, check out our friends from Aquila. These are handcrafted, limited-run frames made in Los Angeles using recycled materials and built to last and look clean. They got UV protection, blue light options, and even prescription lenses. Plus, Aquila gives back 1% of every sale that goes to environmental causes. And because you listen to Snug Wrestling, you get 10% off with code SNUG at checkout. Just head to Aquila.LA and upgrade your eyewear responsibly. That's Aquila.LA, Aquila.LA. Save 10% off with promo code SNUG.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
That's a Diddy joke.
No, I'm just kidding.
Talking about daddy jokes. That's a Diddy joke.
Nah, I'm just kidding. No, the same shit happened to my brother, man. He's, I think he's 28, 29. And yeah, he just started suffering like out of nowhere. Like he can't eat cheese. He can't eat anything, which sucks because we eat a lot of Mexican food, which has like a lot of cheese most of the time. So yeah, sucks for him. Can't relate. I ain't no bitch. Wow.
Like I'm 32. I'm 32 now, but I just know if I'm going to have dairy, I have it in the evening when I know I'm not leaving the house. So I can still enjoy it and just suffer for my art later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it sucks, but you know, no one tells you that. You turn 30, your body just starts turning on you for in random ways that you never did. Like I was walking out of Walmart last week. Normal, totally fine. It's my right knee that has the slight tear in the meniscus. But for some random reason, I look both ways to cross the street back to the parking lot to my car, took one step, thought I blew my left knee out just taking a step, and I had to like hop to my fucking car. And then like for like 3 days, my left knee was fucked up.
Just so you know, I don't think your mic is connected properly. Before we get started, be sure you got that going.
There, better?
No.
How about now?
I think so. Try it again.
Yeah. How about now?
Yeah, there we go. Much better. All right. Now that we got all the technical difficulties and all the poop talk out of the way, welcome everybody to the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I am Edgar. I'm the host, and it's Thursday night on TikTok Live, which means me and Mr. Blood are going to do our weekly one-on-one to talk about wrestling news, updates, rumors, reports, and the whole shebang. Double tap the screen, like, share, and all that good stuff. Got a lot of interesting topics to go over tonight, Mr. Blood. Why don't we get started with what's... because it's WrestleMania season, and there's been a lot of news going around with... the reports that the ticket sales aren't doing too good with WrestleMania. The WWE seems to be trying different things to improve the ticket sales, doing everything except for lowering their prices, it seems like.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, isn't it? Doing everything they can, but the one thing that would actually improve their sales. The one thing, you know, the average family who can't afford $800 a seat for nosebleeds. I don't know if you saw the pricing for the Mania, but like average tickets, like a third of the way up is like $800 a fucking seat. And here's the thing: you got an average family of four, homie. Like no one's who the fuck has got $3,200 in this economy to drop. I think people are still waiting on their tax returns. I think the government's did a partial shutdown. Like, I don't know who they think this is, I don't know who they think their market is. Their market is not one percenters. Their market is 99% of the American population who are all working class families. So, like, I don't understand this thing now. And I know you're going to get into it, but the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard to try to bolster their sales that pissed me off the moment I heard it, because I have tried to give TKO and WWE the benefit of the doubt. I tried to play Mr. Contrarian, devil's advocate. Well, you know, from a business side, well, it's modern. Well, it's this, you know, they got to, you know, but I'm going to call a spade here right fucking now. Devil's advocate in this moment, my ass right now, it's just the truth. You know, it doesn't help your fan base, WWE, banning them at a specific mile radius around the stadium for having watch parties at restaurants, at bars. They are banning that in Las Vegas so that if you want to watch the show, you have to buy a ticket or you've got to drive even further out of your way to view it somewhere else at a friend's house or what. But they have banned viewing parties for WrestleMania 42. I think it's like, what, 15-mile radius of the stadium or some stupid shit like that?
50.
Oh, great. So basically the entire city of Las Vegas, there are no watch parties in all of Las Vegas. I was just there, God, 2 Februarys ago. Vegas is not that big when you really think about it. If you've ever been to Vegas, it's not a large place. It feels like a giant circular city in the desert and everything else around it is suburbs. And then there's the raceway. Other than that, dude, like, it's not a large place. So 50 fucking mile radius. Like, who do you think you're banning the watch party from at that distance? The fucking cacti? Like, I mean, it's egregious. It's greedy. It's wrong. And it's like, dude, what about all the people who because of the economy, because of inflation, because of you pricing your own people out of your market, the only way they can watch the show and enjoy your product is going to watch parties and large group gatherings. And now you've shut that entire fucking demographic out. And that's hundreds of people. That's fucked up. It's greedy as shit.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to Anna. It's true they're banning venues from showing the event. Yeah, that's the report. You know, shout out to our good friends from Triggered Wrestling. Says, don't listen to Edgar. He don't know about Las Vegas. He ain't about that life. I was actually just speaking to them about this topic because, you know, we've been trying to plan out this trip to Vegas. And, you know, I was thinking about going, but I was thinking about going to watch the show from like a bar or a casino or something like that. Not actually pay for a ticket to go into the event, but to just hang out in the area and, you know, still experience WrestleMania, maybe go to a bar, have some drinks. That's not going to be an option. And I was just talking to the, you know, people from Triggered Wrestling. And I was like, what are you guys going to do now? He's like, well, fuck it. We're going to watch it on our phone or we're just going to have to watch it in the hotel room now. And it's just like, oh my God, that's so fucking annoying.
The worst part is even if the bars or the restaurants had like a VPN, it wouldn't matter because whatever country they go to, it might be a different time zone or like, I mean, even if they used a VPN, I believe that might be the only solution now that I think about it. If the bars and restaurants use a VPN, because if they put themselves somewhere in Canada in the same time zone as Vegas on the East Coast, or sorry, the West Coast, that's the West Coast, they might be able to view it. But the problem is the WWE is blocking broadcasting outside of the arena to any local place. There's a way that they're blocking broadcast. And it's fucking stupid because what's pissing me off about it is this is also bad for those indie promotions, the conventions that really bank, right, on WrestleMania being in town because it bolsters the economy in any given city every year. For an entire week, it helps indie promotions max out their sales for people who are in town for Mania but want to see more wrestling. People who've never been to other shows and they're like, you know what? I'm going to go to a real live event and a real WrestleMania in the same week. I'm going to go to these conventions and gatherings and the bingo halls for autographs. I mean, remember last year when Mania was supposed to be in a completely different town, remember? A completely different city.
And oh, yeah. I think it was like Philadelphia or something like that.
Yeah. And then they had like missed and then they re-advertised it and changed it because Vegas paid them more to come back. And then the WrestleCon convention that takes place in the same weekend, they are locked into that venue, and now it's not even the same state, and they're stuck there because WWE got or TKO got greedy and went back to fucking Vegas for more goddamn money, and they're like fucking. I think they're around 7,000 tickets behind on what they were on this year to date last year, because they're around like 43,000 tickets sold a year ago at this point. And now they're only around like 35 or 36,000 units sold. And it's like, well, you got 2 months, but dude, I mean, the biggest problem is you don't, this is a Mania that's not going to have some major star returning like a legend or anything. There's no Rock, right? There's no Cena, right? There's no AJ, right? There's no Goldberg. There's no big fucking return with a story built into it that, like, you know, The Rock probably could move the rest of those units on a match with him and Roman Reigns in this Mania. John Cena, if he was still here on the tour and this was his last Mania, Kent not last
Wilson.
Year. Fuck you. And literally, and literally, like, you got to think of everything. Like, we're going to get into it, but you're missing Bianca. You're missing Braun. Seth is reportedly supposed to be back in time, but until we see him on TV, I'm not buying the rumors. We know Roman's in a match with Punk, but right now that's the only match on the card. Cody's in a match most likely, but we don't know if it's for a title. We don't know what it's going to be for. And I guarantee you, I'm sorry, I love you, Drew McIntyre. You are not the draw that Roman, fucking Cody, and CM Punk are. So you're not selling out an arena. So when it comes down to it, I think that the dumbest thing TKO and WWE can be right now is fucking greedy, because you're hurting yourself. If it's me, raise that fucking ban, because that right there, it's not even just about who's going to be in attendance. You're going to piss off and ostracize a very large part of your fan base, because now they know whenever your ticket sales are low for WWE, they ban watch parties in whatever city that they're going to be in for any given PLE, because this is that precedent. Now, it's not like it's new. NFL used to do this back in the day. A lot of people don't remember that NFL used to do the same thing, but this is different. This is, you guys never used to do this. You always encourage wrestling communities to watch however they can. And now, because your money isn't moving the way you wanted to, you're telling those fans to go fuck themselves or pay up. Egregious pricing. And to me, that's kind of exploitative.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So this is according to good old Uncle Dave, right? So first of all, I guess there was some meeting that was held recently by the WWE where the WWE is supposedly disappointed in current ticket sales for a 2-night event. They're currently sold 36,000 tickets each night, which is a 18% decrease compared to last year. Around this time, they had already sold, I believe, 56,000 to 60,000 tickets. However, according to like multiple wrestling media websites, is that they don't plan to lower the ticket prices. They want to keep the same ticket prices for this year's WrestleMania, which I believe I was told that this year's ticket prices are lowered compared to last year's. So I think that could be one of the reasons why the WWE does not want to lower them even more, because they're like, well, we already lowered them from last year's ticket prices. And I believe the cheapest ticket right now, I believe it's at like $270. I believe that's the cheapest, which that's, I believe last year it was like $370 or something like that.
Here's the thing that about that report, right? Here's the main problem people that the WWE gets and is ignoring. You see, what people don't realize is WWE, when TKO took over, TKO wanted to push these ticket prices as far as they believed they could. They wanted to see how far they could go to where fans would still pay to sell out. And when Papa H was still in his honeymoon period and they were on a fucking like 20-week streak of sellouts, TKO was like, it's still working. Let's keep pushing up the prices. And then the creative started falling off. Pop H's honeymoon period ends. Now people are angry at the creative. Now people are getting stale on Cody. Now people are getting tired of the bloodline after stories. Now it's not as good as it was 2 years ago. So it's not justifying those prices to the consumer. So what happens is they drive the price up, realize, oh, they've gone too far. But now in order to recoup an actual fucking profit, they've got to leave the prices where they are or raise them in order to get back the money they overspent just because they priced out the little guy, which was their 99%, which was the actual consumer market that WWE has. Now, this is where it gets worse. Now, you're talking about the fact that Las Vegas over the last year had a massive decline in tourism. Massive. it made headlines. It was so bad that their entire tourism community took a dip by like 25% in the last just several months. Now you're talking about a returning show from the year prior, where people a year ago were like, well, I got fucking bent over to go to this show. I'm not going to do that again. It costs so much. And the finish we got left with for the weekend was terrible. They hated the main event of night two. It put a sour taste in a lot of fans' mouths who paid a shit ton of fucking money to be there. Okay. Some people paying 20 grand for the front fucking row. And then on top of that, you got to think this. Well, now it's the laws of diminishing returns. You were here a year ago and you priced us out. Now I don't want to go to your show because it wasn't as good as I thought it'd be at the end, even though it was a solid show, but the main event pissed me off. And now you're coming back with the same high ass prices. And you think just because you dropped them a little bit, that makes up for the fact that you priced us out. And now you've gotten rid of watch parties. So now you're not only punishing the consumer on their wallet, you're now alienating them for the people who couldn't afford to go anyway. And now they can't watch it and with groups of their friends, which is what they want to do. Now they got to pay for a VPN and only get to watch it on their cell phones because you can't get a local network for your Wi-Fi box. So this is you for two fucking straight nights because it's not on your flat screen. Or you got to pay $30 for the fucking stupid ESPN direct consumer app, and then you can watch it on your goddamn TV.
Yeah, I think this is just a simple case of the WWE. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too, because, I mean, there's many other cities and also in other countries that have been begging for WrestleMania, right? And I think that's one of the fun parts is the fact that WrestleMania is in different cities, that it causes a lot of like a lot of hype for that city. You know, Philadelphia was hyped for it. They were ready for it. They wanted to see it. If it was in Philadelphia, they'd probably be eating up those tickets right now. But because they decided to stay in Vegas again for 2 years in a row, I was there last year. And yeah, part of me wanted to go again this year. But also at the same time, it's like, I already did that. I don't know if I want to spend the money that I did last year again to go do the same thing again, you know? So I think, do you think that it's like they're kind of, I guess, what's the word? I guess just oversaturating that market. Yes. Because yes, it's back to back in the same city.
I think that's a mistake. The fact that they've gone to the same city twice just because the money was green. That was a problem. And I don't think it was Philly they were going to, because they were at Philly 2 years ago, I believe, when everybody froze their fucking asses off for two nights straight in an open air stadium. Mm. But I think it was somewhere else on your coast they were supposed to be, like back to, I think it was like Louisiana or something like that. They were going, I think it was supposed to be Louisiana again. But here's the thing. They 100% oversaturate the market. It was New Orleans. Thank you, Brian Nelson, in the comments. But here's the thing. You oversaturate your market, but you don't just oversaturate the market. You oversaturate the market, then you inflate your prices in an already overly saturated market in the middle of an economic crisis for the average everyday American, which is like 95% of your consumer base, who already are having problems economically, job-wise. Tax season's fucked up right now because the government shutdowns or potential shutdowns and their dick measuring contest. Then you got to think of the rise of all the inflation, grocery stores, gas, prices, mortgages, interest. People's money has been going elsewhere for a solid year. And you're asking them, hey, in order to come sit in the fucking nosebleeds of WrestleMania, so fucking far up in front of a banister that will block half your view of the Titantron, we want you to pay almost $300 a goddamn seat. And you're a family of four. And that's before your kids get hungry, you got to buy food. Maybe there's merch, gas, travel, standing outside for 5 hours to get in. And you got to do that not for one night, for two nights. Okay? Now you're talking about the middle seat. I got news. Not everybody is green shirt guy who works in fucking hospitality for some other fucking company that they have a conjunction where he can be front row all the time because he pays a premium price. The average consumer, the average fan does not have, for some of these seats, again, third of the way up, $800 fucking dollars a seat is insane. And with no, and look, no show, no live show has a guarantee of being good. But the problem is the booking the last year has not been promising enough to the average fan to go, yeah, me, my wife, my two kids, $3,200 for two nights, probably each night each, mind you, $3,200 for one and $3,200 for the fucking next. And then food both fucking nights. And then I got to pay for travel if I don't live there. I got to pay for a hotel. I got to pay for a rental or a flight or this. This is a fucking full-blown excursion for the average fan. It's their vacation for the year.
Yeah.
So you oversaturate the market, you alienate your consumer, and then you tell everybody who lives in the city that you are hosting in, hey, fuck y'all, we're banning your streaming parties just because we're not selling enough tickets because we haven't done enough with the creative to entice enough people to buy more tickets, which is a you problem, WWE.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the creative here in a bit. I just want to give another shout out to Justin Parker. Justin Parker said, I went last year. It was too expensive. They did it to themselves. And also the homies from Triggered Wrestling bring up a good point. The product buildup sucks. No valid storylines, no bloodline. It smells like broken here. Nah, bro. I mean, kind of, but all right, let's get into the, into like the creative and like the booking leading up to this. Right. So this whole past, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, I want to say, it was looking like Bron Breakker was going to get a big spot, a big moment in WrestleMania, right? He lined himself up with Paul Heyman. You know, he's took out Seth Rollins. Bron Breakker became sort of the leader of the division. You know, he was feuding with Punk. It looked like we might get, you know, CM Punk versus Bron Breakker for the World Heavyweight Champion, maybe. And then he fucking gets hurt, bro. He gets some hernia injury where he needs surgery. And now the report is he's not really coming back. So that was one of the things that I was excited for this WrestleMania, to see Bron Breakker in the main event, if I'm being honest. And now that's not good. I mean, we're getting Punk versus Roman. That's cool. But it's like, how many times does Roman get a main event of WrestleMania? At this point, I'm like, I was actually excited to see something different, if I'm being honest.
I think this is actually number 10 for him, or number 11, because at WrestleMania 40, he main evented two nights in a row to break Hogan's record. Then last year, he main evented night two. So that was 10. This is 11. Okay. So it's 11. He's the all-time record holder. He passed Hogan 2 years ago. And here's the problem. Let's set Braun aside for a slight second. Let's talk about what the original plans were reportedly supposed to be for this Mania. Gunther versus Brock in their first bout before. Gunther reportedly is supposedly retiring him at SummerSlam in Minnesota. Then it was supposed to be CM Punk versus Bron Breakker was the original plan. As far back as 3 months, that's what the talks were all over the fucking place. Then it was supposed to be Roman versus Seth for their final ever bout to settle all these years of animosity and rivalry, but over a full-blown title. Because remember, the last time they versed one-on-one, Roman got disqualified for beating Seth half to hell with a chair at the Rumble. So that match never had a conclusive finish. So the last time these guys actually had a full-blown one-on-one match, it's been 7+ years. Okay? This was the definitive plan. Now, Braun gets hurt. Unfortunate. It fucking sucks. It happens. But it also happened to Seth. But Seth was able to recover enough so he could have the match 2 years ago. But he wrestled on like really, really risky borrowed time for 3 months. And they tried to keep him wrestling as much as possible leading into 40. As much as possible. And as soon as 40 was over, the next week he went and got surgery. But here's the thing. It happens. Braun, however, is in a unique position to where he is a guy that is got the, you know, here's the torch, run it up to light the fucking thing for the Olympics. You know, he's that guy for WWE, but he's got the benefit of being young. Yeah. He's still a young guy. I think he's 28 or 29. He's still young enough to where he can come back from this in 4 months, however long it takes, because apparently, according to reports this morning, it's worse than they thought, and it might actually require longer than 6 weeks. It might require 8 to 12. Now, as much as I want to see Braun get his moment and really get the biggest stage possible to show himself on at, I care way more about his well-being than I do my entertainment. And I just want the guy to be okay. Now, here's the other problem. Reports said that Seth was going to be cleared in time for Mania. He was supposed to be back at least within 3 weeks before Mania started, so he could then now verse Braun. Okay? Mm. Because they had already flipped and changed shit with Seth's injury. They had to go build Roman Punk. So then Seth gets moved off of Roman straight to Braun. Punk gets moved off of Braun straight to Roman, because when Seth got injured, they had to put the title on Punk. So now, if Braun's out past Mania, where does that now leave Seth? Do we get a triple threat rematch from last year? Or do we move Seth on to Bronson? Or do we save Seth and let him heal a little bit longer past Mania to then come back around the same time Braun is slated to? Because now, even if you had Seth come back, what the fuck's he supposed to do?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, dude, because, I mean, just the way that Bron Breakker got injured, I don't know if this is true, but what I read is that it was when he fucking flipped over the announce table on Monday Night Raw. And it's just like, what a fucking shitty way to go out. You're going to miss out on WrestleMania because of something so fucking stupid like that. But anyway, that's besides the point. I mean, I know this is probably not a good comparison because it's completely different situations. Bianca Belair has been off TV for an entire year since last year WrestleMania over a broken finger. Now, I know Bianca Belair is no Bron Breakker. I know Bron Breakker is part of, you know, the main story on WWE right now, or one of them. This is what I'm afraid of. Do you think that they're, even though Bron Breakker's ready to return, do you see the WWE leaving Bron Breakker off TV longer than what's needed to, for whatever reason, to build up more hype around him? Because how can we miss you if you're not gone? Or is it like, okay, as soon as Bron Breakker's ready, we're bringing him back so we can keep this storyline going? I'm afraid that we're not going to see Bron Breakker again anytime soon. And that worries me because I think that can hurt him. The fans could, what if he comes back and the fans don't give a fuck about him anymore? This whole situation, bro, just sucks, dude.
Here's the thing. The fans are extremely invested in Bron Breakker because WWE has organically got us invested in him, because a year ago he was, you know, fighting for the IC title. And then, you know, over the last 7 months, we've seen him be a wrecking crew. We've seen fans see and love him as the cool heel. I think fans care about him. I think when he comes back, I think he gets a massive fucking pop. Sidebar with the Bianca thing, there's a rumor that she's pregnant, and that's why she's been out longer than normal.
Also, just really quick, shout out to Regular Joe, says it wasn't a broken finger, she broke the joint. It's a gruesome injury. Okay, maybe, yeah, but a year? It's been almost an entire year.
Yeah, but some hand injuries are, I mean, take it from me, I broke all of my fingers at the same time 21 years ago, smashing them in a tractor gauge. It took a year before I was able to actually fully ball my fists up. It takes a while. And I just smashed them. I didn't rip the fucking, you know, full on tendon. I crushed them. But when it comes down to it, look, I mean, her job requires her to use her hands for 90% of what she's got to do. So if it's that bad, you don't want to come back, stretch the wrong way, immediately re-aggravate it, because then you're out again. But there are rumors that she might be pregnant. Now, back to Braun. Braun's a massive deal right now. I do not see WWE just moving on from him. They put a lot of time and investment into the Vision. It was 8 months, actually at this point, 10 months of storytelling for the Vision so far. I see them moving Bronson Reed into a position to succeed temporarily, because he was the guy who turned with Breakker. He has been the second, you know, head guy of the Vision. And even then on Monday, he kind of took a leadership position where he told Logan to back off of Adam Pearce. And he told Logan, don't worry, he's my problem now, mm-hmm. which to me is leader guy energy. So when it comes down to it, I think Bronson moves into that position. temporarily. Look, sometimes you got to. If you got to, what Bully Ray said was right. He goes, if it's me and I got the pin and I'm looking at Bronson, I'm telling him, hey, better buckle up, kid. We're pushing you right now. You know, and that's just the nature of the business. When Bronson comes back, he will have a slot. He will have a spot. It'll probably still be a bigger spot than they're going to give Bronson, I guarantee you. But the business has to keep moving on, and you can't just halt a story because one guy gets taken out of it. You got to, what the WWE loves to say, you got to pivot. So pivot, but give us something that makes sense. Give us something that's going to put asses in seats and make sure it's plausible. And then when Braun comes back, give him the reins that you originally planned to give him, because I don't want to see this be the way that Vince McMahon used to run shit. Oh, you get injured? Now we're afraid to push you. You're unreliable because you're injury prone, like they did to Finn Balor all those years ago. And it's like, dude, shit happens. It's the nature of the beast. That doesn't mean that I'm unreliable. It just means that you never had faith in me to begin with. And that's what the real problem.
Yeah, that was weird to me how Bronson Reed was like, oh, he's my problem now. I'm like, what the like, what do you mean? Are you going to beat up Adam Pearce now? I don't. That should be Paul Heyman's job. That sounded more like a manager role to me than a leader of the faction. What the fuck are you going to do to Adam Pearce, Bronson? I didn't get that part, but
I can definitely see an angle coming where Bronson and all them lose their shit on Adam Pearce, and eventually they just tsunami the fuck out of Adam Pearce. I can see that coming between now and Mania, that Adam is going to step over his bounds so fucking far with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is going to pull some shit to get his job taken in the middle of the ring. And since he's not at upper management anymore, then they're going to beat the shit out of him.
Very likely. The other rumor that's been going around in the IWC that fans have been speculating about is that now that Bron Breakker has gone off to cure himself, his wounds, his injury, is that Brock Lesnar is going to step up and come back and take that spot as the leader of the division, because it's being reported that Brock Lesnar has been announced for the Monday Night Raw episode of the 23rd. I think that's what's been reported, is that Brock Lesnar is going to show up on Monday Night Raw on that day, but people don't really know why exactly. They haven't really said why. Some people think it's to
Gunther
take over the Vision. Some people say it's Gunther. Some people say that he's calling his shot at the Elimination Chamber. Or, so here's one of the things I'm hoping for, is that he's looking for Obafemi, which I think would be cool. But you already said it. You think it's going to be, he's coming after
Gunther. I think Brock could be in the chamber, but the only way I see Brock in the chamber is if Gunther makes it into the chamber too. Is Gunther in a qualifier, I believe, right?
I don't know. I haven't looked that up. I'm not really a fan of these qualifiers, to be honest.
Well, let me put it this way. Let me do a little bit of fantasy booking here light.
Well, before Gunther you get into that, sorry. We got a couple people in here. We got a few people in here commenting. Thank you guys. Be sure to like, double tap the screen and share and all that good stuff. So go ahead.
I can see, let's just say Brock gets his way into the chamber. He's not going to wrestle on a Monday night fucking Raw for a qualifier. I don't see him being like, yeah, I'll wrestle on Monday night Raw. You know, like in a, who are you going to put him in a triple threat with that even stands 2% of a chance? So I don't know if I see him calling, because if there's a qualifier, it'd be pretty stupid that he just gets to call his shot into chamber while everybody else has to work for it. But Brock's going to Brock. But let's fantasy book here. Let's say Brock comes back and announces for the chamber. You got to put Gunther in there to set up Mania story, because at some point this year they are building that story, because Brock is apparently retiring this year at SummerSlam in a match with Gunther in Minnesota, Brock's hometown. When it comes down to it, I don't think that's what's happening. I don't see Brock in the chamber this year. I don't think it makes sense. I don't think he needs to be in it. I think he's got to come back. I don't think it has anything to do with the Vision, because, you know, the first chance he got in the Rumble, folks, what did he do? He attacked Logan Paul, who is a direct member of the Vision. Now, everybody can say, well, SummerSlam, you know, he was on their team. And I thought that meant he was a part of the Vision, because they did present him as a part of the Vision at War Games. But the moment he got a fucking chance, he turned on Logan quick as shit, instead of working together like Logan and the rest of the Vision did. Brock didn't work with them at all. So I don't see him coming back to take over the Vision. That's why I see him coming back to say something, do something, and then maybe call his shot against Gunther or something like that. Or Gunther calls a shot, or he interrupts, or one of them interrupts the other, but I think it's got to be Gunther. The other two don't make enough sense to me.
Shout out to Sean Anthony. He says, remember Brock just put himself in the Money in the Bank mid-match. And I think if Brock were to call his shot for Elimination Chamber, I don't think he has to qualify for it. I think he's just going to show up. Where's the chamber at? I think it's like in Atlanta or something like that. And
I'm not sure.
He's just going to be like, all right, I'm in this bitch now. And that's it. That's all he has to do. It's Brock fucking Lesnar. He can do whatever he wants, you know? Oh, Chicago. Yeah, thank you, regular Joe. My bad.
I'm just so sick and tired of because it's such a Vince thing to book, right? Brock does what Brock wants. Yeah, but how is he the winner of a match he wasn't sanctioned in? You know, so like, you know, how does Drew McIntyre, and this is a gripe I have with Triple H too, doing stuff just because you can without it actually making sense to the audience. How the fuck does Drew McIntyre eliminate Cody from the Rumble, a match he's not even in? You know what I'm saying? Like shit like that don't make sense. Just letting Brock enter the chamber because Brock's gonna Brock is the most cop-out fucking bullshit you could write into a story.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the first time they do some cop-out shit like that. Shout out to our boy Toxic on the comments. Shout out to everyone that's on the comments. It seems like most of the people believe that this clash with Gunther, if Brock Lesnar would have come after Gunther on Monday Night Raw, might be too soon because Gunther has been retiring everyone. If Brock comes after Gunther, wouldn't that be like, all right, Lesnar's getting ready to say goodbye? I don't think Lesnar's ready yet, is he? Just to leave or retire?
He's long in the tooth, bro. I mean, look, WWE brought him back the first fucking chance they got last year because they wanted to do something on John Cena's retirement tour. So to pop a rating at the end of the show. And just because they're like, oh, you mean, well, our investigation came back and he's clear of the Janelle Grant stuff, which, by the way, and I keep needing to remind people of this, he ain't clear of the Janelle Grant shit, guys. WWE didn't find anything in their investigation. He's still a part of the investigation with Janelle Grant and the lawsuit with Vince McMahon.
I actually read that she's going to speak out on the 19th about that publicly.
Yeah. So let's stop giving Brock all this extra leeway. WWE, they did their own investigation, meaning they did their own internal investigation. How can we look at this to make sure he's clear so we can use him? Because that's business.
Yeah.
So when I say they looked, I didn't find anything here, while covering their eyes for those people listening. But the federal fucking government, who's investigating Vince for fucking human trafficking and S trafficking, is still like, no, he's named in this lawsuit. So when it comes down to it, let's not act like the longer he stays in WWE, the better. Because innocent until proven guilty. But let's just say he's guilty in the middle of the last 6 months of this run. That doesn't look good for WWE to have him on TV now, does it? So I think you get him off TV and retire him, get the pop, get the ratings, get the money you can off of him. Because if this shit goes south while he's still on their programming, ooh, it's not going to fucking look good.
That's true, man. Maybe it is time to retire Brock Lesnar, man, because this girl is going to come out and speak on it in like a week from now, you know? Metal Dad,
that's not going to look good if she, what if she publicly, like, let's just say, look, remember, biggest thing, guys, these are allegations, but it's innocent until proven guilty. That is fair. That is fine. It's not, and contrary to popular belief, not all press is good press. You know what WWE, the family program, doesn't want someone to come out on TV and say, hi, my name is Mrs. Janelle Grant. And this man over here, Brock Lesnar, did this, and this to me at the behest of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Even if it's alleged, guys, even if it's innocent or proven guilty, her just saying that in a public forum is not good on WWE's PR side. Because yeah. they're hearing in the news, WWE professional wrestler Brock Lesnar gets accused of this today by Miss Janelle Grant, who is suing Vincent McMahon and saying that he helped S-traffic her in a federal lawsuit and investigation. That didn't look good.
No, and you're right. I do agree with you that the WWE is going to do whatever they can to protect Brock Lesnar in order to use him, because despite of everything that's happening, Brock Lesnar is still a draw, which is the reason why the WWE brought him back. Because if he wasn't a draw, like Alberto Del Rio, who's going through some of his own shit, that some fans have been asking for him to come back, you know, but the WWE is not going to bring him back, because he's not, unless you're Brock Lesnar or someone of a name like Brock Lesnar, they're not going to bring you back if you got into some shit. I mean, look at all these people that have gotten fired or released, like Odyssey Jones and all these people.
The Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. You know, which is crazy, man, but fuck it. That's just the strength of the name of Brock Lesnar, man. Hate him or love him, dude. He puts asses on seats still.
He does. And he's a hell of a performer. But guess who else was an extremely incredible performer who once in a generation talent? Chris Benoit. So doesn't matter how big a name you are, you can't outrun certain things, right? And for people like Thomas Lewis here, shout out to you in the comments, who
MSDC, say, thank you for the follow.
Who say, oh, well, Brock did nothing wrong. Keep in mind, the promise of him signing a new contract was stipulated and then encouraged by Vince. If you sign, you will get this in the future. So even if he did not meet with her in person, it's because he never got the fucking chance to before the shit came down on Vince's head. And on top of that, and here's the big kicker here, guys, Vince was dumb enough to leave all this shit open on his phone. He didn't ever delete anything. That's how Brock gets mentioned. They found shit in his phone with Brock's fucking name on it. So that's another thing. It doesn't matter if something is true or not. It matters what's said at allegation and before it's over. Everything in between just doesn't look good. No, it doesn't sound good to a multi-billion dollar world conglomerate. That's not good press. It's not a good look. And mothers and people who have families, that's not good press. It's not a good look. And mothers and people who have families.
Okay. Are we good now? Are we back?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Yeah, I'm starting to believe now that maybe Lesnar is going to come back and go after Gunther just to get him off TV before all hell breaks loose. But quick shout out to Chocolate Teddy. Thank you for the follow. Thank you guys for all the likes and stuff and all the comments. But yeah, we're going to see Brock Lesnar on Monday Night Raw on the 23rd, reportedly. So we'll see what happens with that. So yeah, that's what's happening right now. And you know, when it comes to WrestleMania, the buildup, the ticket sales and all that good stuff. But there is one more thing that I had planned to go over, and just to get your thoughts on this one. This is another injury that we recently learned about. Chelsea Green suffered what we thought was a sprained ankle on Friday Night SmackDown when she was in that triple threat match. I believe it was a qualifying match for Elimination Chamber, the one that your girl Tiffany Stratton won.
Fuck you.
Shout out to Tiffany Stratton.
Fuck you.
And she was supposed, Chelsea Green was supposed to be in AAA the next day, I believe. Yeah, I believe it was the next day to defend the mixed tag team titles with Ethan Page. She didn't show up. She got replaced, and Ethan Page lost those championships. And I believe it was earlier this morning, Chelsea Green posted on Twitter that she actually suffered a broken ankle, which fucking sucks, because that just means a longer time for recovery for her off of TV.
Do we know what point in the match she broke? Because I know that there was a point where I saw her get dumped out and she like landed weird in her feet and then hit her butt or something. But I mean, I thought she finished the match. So how the hell did she? Well, that's because, you know, Chelsea Green's a fucking top tier professional and that girl's a soldier. But at what point did she look like she broke the ankle? Did you see?
I did not see, and I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anything, but according to Brandon Steiner on the comments, says it was the coast to coast.
Okay, because Thomas Lewis here is saying it was the Van Terminator from the corner.
Yeah, she also did.
Yeah, that's the coast to coast. Yeah.
Yeah, she also did some crazy spot where she jumped off the top rope down to the floor onto everybody. Yeah. Don't know, man. But
well, here's what sucks about it, man. Chelsea Green is, how do I put this? In WWE land, she's America's sweetheart. Like, she is wildly entertaining, hilariously over, incredibly talented, super charismatic, has a connection with the fans, and she's just fun to watch. And she looks like she would be fun to hang out with at a party, fun to go with to a theme park. She seems like
a theme park kind of.
Well, considering her and like Matt Cardona and all them, they're like they're all Disney people, so they go to Disney together all the time. But here's the thing: Chelsea works her ass off. She works through injuries. The girl has broken her nose 6 or 7 times in WWE. She just got done with a broken nose, literally not fucking 6 months ago. All I can say is that the division on SmackDown is going to feel her absence the same way the division on Raw felt Liv Morgan's absence for 7 months. It's not going to have that same quirky energy, that same annoyingly entertaining value to it without her. And I hope that she can at least be at home, rest, recover, and just get excited about their dream house they've been building. It broke ground already. It's halfway finished. I just hope that she can at least maybe spend some time focusing on that while she recovers and rehabs.
But did she send you a text message or something to tell you this?
No, she showed us all the stuff on Unreal. So
Wasn't that filmed like two years ago? Or wait, no, last year. No,
that was all last year, middle to late last year.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, just I hope she can focus on other passions she has, but just focus on healing and come back to us, you know, better and more entertaining than ever. I know that her pop is going to be great when she returns.
Yeah.
I hope when she comes back, I hope it's in a position where they're willing to take a gamble on her and really give her time to shine in a way that the fans have been clamoring for now for weeks and weeks and weeks. I don't want her to just come back and be undercard comedy fodder. I want her to come back and still be comedically entertaining, but put her in a, she has done enough for this company to be an upper mid carder, in my opinion. She's done enough for this company to be an upper mid carder. The girl will say yes to anything, do anything. She's fearless. She's a go getter and the fans love her. So I want her to just come back and I want them to give her the opportunities that all these other fucking girls that the fans don't even give a shit about get. No one cares. No offense to Julia, wildly talented. The fans are not connected to this girl, yet she's the champion. Okay. Yeah.
And that was, you know, like, that was one thing too. When I first heard about this, I was like, oh, what's going to happen with the women's US championship. And then I was like, oh wait, it's not even on Chelsea Green anymore. I completely forgot that it's on Julia now.
Yeah. But when people think of the women's US champion, they think of Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They think of Chelsea. Like, and who else is in that fucking division? Like, if Chelsea's out, oh my God. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're going to start having some of these tag team women go for it, for Christ's sake.
That was going to be my other question because, you know, Chelsea Green is slated as, you know, the one that's there to make everyone else look good. Now, who the fuck are you going to put there? Kiana James? She does a good job of doing that.
B-Fab?
Oh, God, no, bro.
I think Meechan's still injured.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. But yeah, that's all we had planned for today. Do you guys have any questions and on the comments, anything else before we get up out of here? We got a few more minutes.
Oh, not me.
No. All right. Well, I think we are good to go then. Yeah. Take us home, Blood.
Yes. Sorry guys. Normally I would, but I do have something I have to go do. When it comes down to it, guys, thank you so much for kicking with us. As always, if you love hanging out with us, you can do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday after Raw, NXT, and SmackDown go off the air for live post-show reviews. And that is always going to be live on YouTube, Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, and Facebook Live. And for bonus content, check our socials every single show during the shows for live reaction content right there wherever you can. And hang out with us every Thursday here, as always, on TikTok Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock Central, for our one-on-one relevant or random wrestling topic hours, where we also will answer your fan questions live. Unfortunately, at the end here, I am to be doing something else. But guys, thank you so much. As always, we will see you tomorrow for the Friday Night SmackDown review on YouTube Live, Twitter or X, and Facebook Live when the show goes off the air. And until next time, stay safe, stay savage, and stay snug.